on this platform, the truth remains uncensored. We are unafraid and unstoppable. The 21st day of January, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. The mantra that we hear from the tyrants who want to rule our lives is trust the experts. Believe the experts. Obey the experts. But of course, in real life, experts oftentimes disagree. Or some experts are just frauds, or they abuse their power, or they overstep their experience. But the very experts we're told to obey have issued completely contradictory advice multiple times, countless times, over the past 2 years. In the name of fighting misinformation. But you know the drill. This isn't about fighting misinformation. It's about dominance and it's about control. So when experts stand up that have advice that's different from the regime's orders, the authorities just strip them of their expert status. In fact, they go further than that. They strip them of the right to earn a living at all. Meryl Nass is a doctor in Maine. She has 25 years of experience. She's an expert on anthrax. She was a key investigator of a major anthrax outbreak in Rhodesia in the 1970s, which she convincingly argued was the byproduct of biological warfare. She's provided testimony to six different congressional committees during her career on topics like anthrax, like bioterrorism, and Gulf War syndrome. She knows a lot. She's testified before state legislatures in Maine and in Massachusetts, in Vermont, in New Hampshire, and even in New Brunswick, Canada. Dr. Nass has consulted with the World Bank's Latin American branch and the U.S. Director of National Intelligence. She's credentialed. She knows what she's talking about, but the state of Maine now says Meryl isn't even a doctor at all. They have stripped her of her license to practice because she's been prescribing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to her COVID patients. And because she's criticized vaccinating children while giving Big Pharma blanket immunity for any damages. And because she says COVID-19 vaccines aren't working, generally, or more specifically, to fight the Omicron variant. Dr. Nass's clinic has been completely shut down. Her patients have lost the right to go to Dr. Nass for treatment. But it gets even more disturbing than that, if you can imagine that being even possible. If she wants to get her license back, Maine's medical board has ordered her to undergo a required neuropsychological evaluation. They're claiming that because she doesn't obey the Lord and God Tony Fauci, then Dr. Nass is literally insane. This is a tactic that they literally used in the Soviet Union, by the way. Soviet authorities said that people who criticized the system had sluggish schizophrenia. And they stuck them in mental asylums. And now that Soviet system has come to America, which makes sense because our leaders have basically the same ideology. Dr. Nass joins us now to talk more about this. So if you don't do what the regime tells you to do, you're insane. They'll cart you off to an asylum. Is that hyperbolic to assume that could be coming next?
I hope not. However, there was an elderly doctor, 81, named Mel Bruchet in Canada, who blew the whistle on stillbirths in vaccinated mothers, high number of stillbirths, and he was carted off to an insane asylum in Canada and spent 25 days there.
So what are you doing to fight this? I mean, obviously, you're not insane. Well, let me just ask you, are you crazy? Are you nuts?
No, I've never had a psychiatric diagnosis. I think I'm good. And my patients tell me I'm fine.
The very doctor that the government relied on and leaned on for expert testimony before all of these committees is now the doctor that they want to shut down because they consider you to be a dissident doctor. This is going to happen all over the country because the narrative is falling apart. So rather than admitting that they were wrong, they're going to now double down on more shots, more vaccines, more control, more corruption, more tyrannical measures to force subservience upon this population that has risen up in resistance and choke out any doctors who say, hey, the population is right.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So have you lawyered up? What are you going to do next?
Yes, I have gotten some competent lawyers. I'm being assisted by Children's Health Defense, which is an organization I've been consulting for. And I think we will mount a strong defense. My lawyers have asked me not to talk about the legal strategy, though.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's an ongoing, just like a criminal investigation. You don't want to talk about the specific details of your case. But how do you see this as a concern nationwide? If they're willing to do it to you, do you fear that this is going to spread across the country? Will it soon be Merrick Garland and the Attorney General's office looking into doctors such as yourself considering criminal charges for prescribing life-saving treatments?
Yeah. No, the reason I'm, you know, willing to mount a public case and willing to risk my license and my livelihood is because I think it's so important, and that exactly what you said is correct, that they have been going after doctors in a number of states. So 15 states have charged doctors with misinformation and threatened their licenses already. The way medicine is being governed right now is via veiled threats and without any rules. There are no rules or regulations that say I can't prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. In some states, there are restrictions on hydroxychloroquine, and I followed those restrictions, which were that you can't prescribe it prophylactically, but you can prescribe it when a person gets sick. You know, those rules vary from state to state. They were all imposed after the pandemic started. There's no good reason for them. They basically restrict patients and doctors from using the drug because it is a very good prophylactic drug. It's been used prophylactically for malaria for, you know, many decades. There's no reason not to use it as prevention of COVID for high-risk patients. But anyway, can't do that in Maine. So what happened instead is that both bloated medical nonprofits like the AMA, the specialty boards, and organizations of family practice, internal medicine, et cetera, and an organization called the Federation of State Medical Boards, all somehow started issuing threats beginning last summer to doctors that they could not spread misinformation, that they shouldn't say anything mean about the vaccines, et cetera. And they had no authority to do this. These are nonprofit organizations. They don't have any regulatory authority. They don't get to make laws, but they started threatening. Now, they all did it in concert. We don't know why. We don't know who paid them, how this came about, but they did it in concert. They brought it to the medical boards, and 15 of the medical boards bit and said, okay, we'll do that. We'll go after doctors for misinformation. The others maybe read the Constitution and realized that, hey, we have a First Amendment. Freedom of speech, and that you know, as long as I don't say something that's going to harm somebody, I can say it. There are no allegations that I harmed any patients in this matter. There's just allegations that I treated and so in terms of treating people with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are legal drugs. They're FDA approved. They're fully licensed. I was fully licensed until last week, and I'm allowed to write prescriptions for them off label. But what happened is because the CDC, the FDA, and the state organizations, the Board of Pharmacy and the Board of Medicine, basically issued threats to doctors and pharmacies not to prescribe or dispense these drugs and without writing it down in words that you could take to court, they made everybody frightened. And so the pharmacists stopped dispensing them. So they'll dispense hydroxychloroquine if it's for lupus, Lyme, malaria, rheumatoid arthritis, no problem. But if it's for COVID, they won't dispense it.
Why do you think that is? I mean, what's the bottom line?
Because they're frightened. They're frightened the state will investigate them and take away their license. So basically, we're being ruled by innuendo, by veiled threats, but there's no law behind it. There are no regulations. Nobody's issued anything. No legislature's voted on it. Failed threats. And this is not how, you know, we're supposed to do business in America.
Why the demonization of ivermectin is what I'm asking. Why is the government so desperate to make sure, to make certain that nobody is able to use this thing? Why has the media been tasked with the job of discrediting this stuff, calling it horse paste, horse medicine, dewormer? What exactly is that all about, in your opinion?
Well, there's a bunch of theories. So one is that if these medicines if the FDA and CDC admitted that these medicines worked for COVID, they would not have been able to give out any emergency use authorizations for any other products. Because both these have long half-lives and can prevent COVID as well as treat it, they act like vaccines. So we wouldn't have had any vaccines approved. So that's one reason. Another theoretical reason is that they actually help people. They keep people out of the hospital, and they would have helped us get over the pandemic a lot quicker. And that certain entities and governments want this pandemic to keep going because they're trying to bring in other societal changes under the guise of pandemic response. And if the pandemic goes away, they can't keep building back better. There's no new normal if the pandemic is gone. Both drugs are very safe when used correctly, when prescribed by a doctor. Neither the FDA nor the CDC has alleged that anyone's been hurt when they got a prescription from a doctor for these drugs. So the whole thing is very strange. You know, it's like extrajudicial execution. This is like extrajudicial killing of drugs for which there's no law. There's no reason to do it except that they can.
Well, and then in turn, they're killing actual people.
That's correct.
These policies are responsible.
Into the hospital.
And they're responsible for untold deaths.
That's
we
right.
had a story of a two-year-old whose father was told, your baby, your toddler, your two-year-old is going to die. Your unvaccinated two-year-old is going to die because of you, because you didn't vaccinate your two-year-old. Your baby is going to die. You're going to lose your child. And out of desperation, of course, this father went and found Farm and Fleet grade ivermectin paste and began to rub it on his baby's chest in the hospital and feet and hands, snuck it in, smuggled it in. That baby within 24 hours made a miraculous recovery. The doctors just couldn't figure it out. And of course, we're never going to release the name of that baby or that hospital or the man who did it, because that person would be probably criminally hunted down and charged with a crime. That man saved his baby by using the demonized horse paste dewormer veterinary medicine that, by the way, is FDA approved, has been used for decades, has been used off label, is a Nobel Prize winning medication, not because it saved the Kentucky Derby, but because it saved human lives. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2015 Nobel Prize to the people who developed ivermectin. As I said, the only CDC could only come up with two examples in a threatening letter it sent to all the pharmacies and doctors. One was a person who used an animal product. One got it off the internet. They both overdosed and wound up in the hospital. Neither one died. But on the basis of these two cases where people couldn't get the, you know, normal drug because their doctors wouldn't give it to them, CDC tried to stop the use of this drug in the whole country.
Do you think that they're intentionally trying to kill people to make people scared, to force them into these shots being falsely referred to as safe and effective vaccines that are responsible for an unprecedented amount of death since their rollout? Do you think that that's what the case is here, that they're intentionally trying to kill people by denying them these medications, by threatening pharmacists who want to fill prescriptions from licensed doctors such as yourself or previously? There's countless videos of people going in to their pharmacists with a valid prescription from a licensed doctor who then refuses in turn. And I don't know if legally they're even allowed to do that, because I think that that would be practicing medicine without a license. They're doctoring, in a sense, by saying, no, I'm not going to give this to you. Do you think that this is nefarious, diabolical, intentional?
So I think that whatever is happening is nefarious. I'm not going to go so far as to say that people are deliberately murdering patients. But, you know, presumably they think they're doing the right thing. They've been convinced that these drugs are dangerous. They haven't bothered to read the literature. You know, they have no idea what they're doing. I will go that far. I think, you know, the drumbeat, the enforcement of the narrative is so intense right now. Doctors and pharmacists and presumably employees of these federal health agencies are scared to death to step out of line and learn anything that might challenge the narrative.
So what's next? What would you encourage doctors at this point to do? As they're hearing your story, how many more are going to say, I can't afford to lose my license. I can't afford to make this fight. Dr. Nass, she can go ahead and she can fight. And Stu, we hope that he continues to do his show. But I have to continue to do what I have to do in order to provide for my family. In the hands of those doctors lies a lot of lives. And it's become plainly obvious that, look, ivermectin is incredibly cheap. It's cost effective. It's not expensive. Like the unapproved, not FDA approved, extremely dangerous, high risk, emergency use authorized remdesivir, that then their hospital administrators get paid a ton of money. They get incentivized. That's been proven by NIH documents.
Right. Remdesivir was emergency use approved. And then with no data, no supporting data, FDA gave it a license. So now it's fully licensed. It's not used in other countries. It's very dangerous. Doesn't really help. It has to be given in the hospital because it's an IV drug.
It was pulled from a trial because of 50% mortality. It killed half of the people that took it. It was pulled halfway through a trial because it was too deadly.
Well, of course, the people had Ebola, which was also deadly. So you can't, I mean, that's the thing. When you use these drugs in the middle of a pandemic on seriously ill patients in the hospital, you can hide the side effects of the drug by saying they died of the disease. So it's hard to know how dangerous it is, but we do know it does cause renal failure. It certainly causes renal insufficiency in many patients who use it. And in one very large VA study, they found no mortality benefit, and it didn't get people out of the hospital quicker, which was the original claim on which Fauci hung his hat to get it through FDA in the first place. It was keeping people in the hospital longer. So now Fauci's system is trying to say, well, look, we can give this as outpatients. You can just come and drive up and we'll give you an IV and you drive home and do that for 3 to 5 days. And that's good. So they keep trying to find new ways to use this drug, which is pretty worthless, so that they can avoid using ivermectin and pretend they have an outpatient treatment. It's insane. But this is the USA we're in now, and we all have to fight it. I mean, the patients and the doctors both need to fight it. We need to say, look, the government doesn't get to say what our medical care is going to be. The government does not prescribe my medications. My doctor does it, you know, in concert with me based on what we both think is best for me, not what the US government has prescribed and incentivized to doctors and hospitals with huge, you know, financial gain if they go along.
That's what it is. And I think every one of these sitting elected representatives ought to be investigated if they're taking kickbacks or money from these big pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, because now we know that everybody knows that ivermectin is working. It's common knowledge, although be it the media tries to demonize it, they're dishonest. They have been for a very long time. But now you look at these pharmaceutical companies like Merck and Pfizer, they're developing their own ivermectins. The difference is they are much more expensive, and that's why those will quickly get licensed and approved for use for COVID-19, because it then lines the pockets of the very people who are responsible for making sure that it gets rushed through and approved over in our health departments and through Congress and through the United States Senate. It's all corrupt, and there should be a huge investigation opened up into this. And if there are honest people on Capitol Hill, there will be, and these people will be held accountable. Dr. Nass, keep up the fight. Very, very much appreciate you coming by here and talking common sense. It's hard to find these days.
Thanks a lot, Stu.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. or my king size. Regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Since breaking this story about Scott Quiner and this audience going into action and getting him moved to a proper facility where a doctor who cares about saving his life and doesn't want to kill him is treating him, we've had an outpouring of other people, thousands of emails in our inbox. You know the story about Charles Hughes in West Virginia, who we are working with Tom Renz and the team behind the scenes to get him appropriate treatment as well. But there are thousands of emails, not only in my inbox, but also in Dr. Jane's inbox, and she joins us now to talk specifically about some of these cases. So this theory about a widespread killing off in these hospitals is not conspiracy.
No, not at all, Stu. You know, American hospitals used to be the last best hope for any of us to save our lives. But this whole COVID hoax thing has blown up our hospitals and our awareness of them, that a lot of them seem to be very, very dangerous in terms of blindly following this CDC protocol of forced remdesivir and then forced sedation and put on a mechanical ventilator. So since you and your team helped rescue Mr. Quiner, it has just come to blow up, I'm assuming yours as well, but my inbox on my Proton Mail with just literally hundreds of people every day writing to me. This seems to have overwhelmed all the other topics with examples of people who are held hostage right now in hospitals. They won't be released to their family. The family cannot get in there. They are not allowed to share any preference with how they want their loved one treated. And it seems to be getting worse. Maybe I'm just getting a lot of messages. I want to share some of the people that are in this situation because it gives you an example of what's happening, and it will encourage more people to come forward. There's a woman in California named Yasmin Bates. She's 31 years old. She's being held against her family's will. So I call that a hostage situation, a medical hostage situation in Torrance Memorial Medical Center in Torrance, California. Remember, before the CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, apparently snuck in a retraction of our hospital rights, every nurse and doctor was aware of hospital policy and patients' bill of rights. They're plastered all over hospital hallways and patient rooms. And it's the right to try medication. It's the right to refuse medication. It's the right to leave against medical advice. You sign a form. And if something happens after that, it's on you. You don't even have those rights anymore. So her family can't get her out. They know she's on a ventilator. And another one, Rabbi Ben Zoen in Mount Sinai Hospital West, all the way on the other side of the country in New York City. His double pneumonia, he's on a ventilator, which is probably going to damage his lungs and move him toward his death. I want to share the information about this hospital, Mount Sinai Hospital West. It's 1000 10th Avenue in New York City, 212-523-4000. I want people to call and encourage the hospital to give him the proper treatment with ivermectin and HCQ and to stop using protocols that just result in death. I mean, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and not changing your protocol, then we can only speculate that it's intentional. And I wanted to call particular attention on your show today to a pediatrician in Kansas City, Missouri. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Flint. She recently presented as part of a COVID task force to a local hospital where she is acting as an advisor. And she advised everyone that she is apparently putting children on remdesivir. I don't even know if there's a pediatric dosing because it is under emergency use authorization, which means it's experimental and hasn't completed its study. So what is the dose adjustment? We don't know for children, but she's apparently putting them on remdesivir, which we know for a fact damages permanently, in some cases, renal function, kidney function. And she told them that part of the other thing she's doing is she is moving them onto ventilators. Now, according to these witnesses, there were 30 people attending this meeting. A number of the doctors and nurses in that meeting, in that room, pushed back and asked her, well, why are you still following this protocol if children are dying? Because Dr. Flint admitted that even though she continues to use this protocol, children are dying on it. And her response was, I'm just following the CDC's recommendations for pediatrics on their website.
I'm just following orders. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? Now, there is some sort of a dilemma here. Okay, this woman, I'm just looking at her picture and I just, it is really hard. I have to pray.
Skin crawl. I get it.
I have to pray because I want to hate her. But I'm not supposed to be capable of that. I gotta pray that away. So I gotta give that to God. But I want to hate this woman really badly. And there's gonna be a lot of viewers on this program that want to do the same thing. Now, when hospitals move away from this NIH killer, premeditated, murderous protocol, they get stripped of their Medicare, Medicaid funding, which is hundreds of millions of dollars to their budget.
Yeah.
So what are they to do? I mean, because they walk away from this to save lives, and then they can't sustain a staff, they can't stay open, they can't run their hospital because they don't have the budget to be able to do it unless they have, like, what, billionaire investors that are willing to come in and say, we're going to keep you open.
That's right. And Stu, people need to understand the Biden administration is incentivizing these hospitals. You need to understand the minute you go into an ER, whether it's for a broken arm, a breathing problem, whatever it is, a heart attack, there's a free COVID test in the ER. They get paid if they offer that test.
Big money.
They get paid again if the test is positive.
Yes.
They get paid a bonus if they can admit you officially into the ER or into the hospital proper with anything that has COVID included in it. They get a big bonus for putting you on remdesivir, and they get about a $50,000 bonus payment for every patient put on a ventilator, which they can get them off pretty quickly because they die within a week or two.
Yeah.
And then they can start the cycle all over again. It appears to be really connected to repetitive bonuses, right? It's insane. It's insane what's happening.
Yeah, it is. These hospital administrators are running for-profit businesses. And so months ago, it was hyperbolic when Stu Peters said, this is murder for money. But guess what? That's what this is. There's no other way to argue it. And these doctors can no longer complain or claim, rather, to be unknowing. They're not complicit, there's
not
cognitive dissonance because they're watching patients die. So they're administering the same protocol over and over and over again, and they're watching them die. 30 people confronted this particular pediatric doctor and said, kids are dying. Please consider stopping this. And she said, no, I'm just following orders. So they're killing off our kids. They're killing off whites. Let's just call it what it is. And they're killing off old people.
Young and old. Yeah, it seems both ends.
And they're killing
off
dissidents.
Yep.
Which is the unvaccinated, right? And so they're purging, they're cleansing the population. I don't know how that's different. I don't know how that's different than Nazi Germany. I don't know how people can say that it is hyperbolic to call it different. It's not different.
You just touched on something. A lot of the people that are writing to me, that whole issue, their loved one or the family is always asked before the remdesivir and the ventilator, have you been vaccinated? And when they say no, they either reject them for further treatment. You're lucky if you get rejected because then you can get the hell out of there. But in many cases, they move them right into that protocol, according to these reports that I'm getting. And I wanted to add one other thing about Dr. Jennifer Flint. She's also the medical director of the Pediatric Critical Care Transport and Clinical Associate Professor of Medicine of Pediatrics at the University of Missouri at Kansas City Medical School. So these are people in very high positions.
Yeah.
And if they're just blindly following the CDC recommendations, why aren't entities maybe bringing lawsuits or stays from courts, you know, judicial stays against the CDC for pushing this protocol?
Well, we're trying to, but see, here's also the issue is that attorneys cannot legally just say, we're going to help you. They can't solicit business in that regard. They have to be asked. So you have to start finding attorneys that are willing to take these cases. Many of them are not because they're watching doctors like our last guest lose their licenses for prescribing life-saving treatments, right? And so they're probably afraid of being disbarred for fighting against this multi-billion dollar or possibly trillion dollar murderous plan. But again, the question is, how does a hospital who really wants to do the right thing actually do it when they're being threatened with losing essentially their entire budget? They'll lose all of their funding. Well,
I would say this in closing. People are dying. People have died. We've lost two people that I'm aware of in the state of Florida. Daniel Pisano died at this protocol at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, just a day or so ago. And another man in September, and I'm sure many in between, Kirk Ainsworth died at the Melbourne Regional Medical Center in Melbourne, Florida. Same thing. These are young people, the same protocol, died within a week or two.
Yeah.
They're dying.
The anti-whites are killing us. That's just what's happening here.
Seems so.
So we're going to think about that. We have to think about a plan here to keep these hospitals funded. Because, yes, I understand people are dying, but there also needs to be medical care facilities that aren't going to kill people. So how do we do that?
I guess is the really big question.
We need safe hospitals.
We need safe hospitals, too, because I don't care how much you convert the funding. I never want to go to these hospitals.
And believe me, since this Scott Quiner story broke, we have been relentlessly, tirelessly throughout all hours of the day while doing this show, while writing and researching and all these other things. Our number one focus has been calling around. There is not a hospital that is willing to do this. There's one. And that unnamed hospital has now lost their Medicare, Medicaid funding. I mean, there's only one. So if you are a privately owned, privately funded hospital and you are willing to accept patients and treat them, please, I'm begging you, I'm praying that you please get a hold of me here, StuPeters@ProtonMail.com, and tell me, because there is an influx of patients waiting to get there. And we know about crowdfunding. We know that people will help each other. We are a good people. The bedrock of America is with its people because we are good people. We will help each other.
Absolutely. We need safe hospitals, Stu. Thank you for everything you're doing. It's been amazing. We just need more safe hospitals.
I'm disgusted by this pediatrics, what's her name here?
I know.
Let's put her up on the screen again here. What's her name again? Who is this?
Jennifer Flint.
Yes.
And she is at this hospital.
I don't like her. I really
Children's
cannot.
Children's Mercy Hospital
Mercy.
In Kansas
City. Here we go with that Mercy stuff again.
I know. It's a Mercy is a, that's a system. So they're in that Mercy system.
Yeah.
And it's Gillum Road, Kansas City,
well,
Missouri.
Well, Allina is the system that operates this Mercy Hospital. And I can't say unequivocally that there's a connection between this Children's Mercy and the Mercy here that tried to kill Scott Quiner.
We don't know. They have the same name.
But this lady here, I can't stand her. She's disgusting. This woman, look at her. She's just a tyrant. She's a murderous tyrant. And she's doing it knowingly. It's disgusting.
That's the tough part.
Yeah. People should let her know how they feel. That's my opinion. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu. Have a great day.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jab that becomes self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
I was incapacitated. I was literally laying down the entire day with a terrible migraine. I actually passed clots, which obviously is insanely alarming.
Clots?
Yes.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
Well, sometimes the best news comes from the most surprising places. On most other issues, for example, the United Kingdom has been several years ahead of the US in becoming tyrannical and oppressive. They don't have freedom of speech in the UK. You can go to prison for making the wrong tweet or reading the wrong book. For real. The British public has been effectively disarmed, and the cops like to go around confiscating people's old kitchen knives while ignoring Pakistani rape gangs, because doing anything about them would be racist, you see. But what Britain does have right now is freedom from COVID tyranny. COVID passports, mask mandates, stay-at-home orders, they're all gone next week. Mandatory quarantine periods for positive cases are going away in March, and the government is saying it may happen even sooner. Masks in schools are out. And all of this is happening for one very fitting reason. It's because the British public has learned that its leaders were lying hypocrites all along, and they have called it out. For the past 2 years, the British government was criminalizing home gatherings and parties in the name of containing the virus. But the whole time, Prime Minister Boris Johnson was holding his own illegal parties at the Prime Minister's residence at 10 Downing Street. Boris Johnson has been living like COVID is bullshit for the past 2 years. And now since that went public, he has to give the same rights back to everybody else. And of course, this says a lot about how aloof and arrogant our own leaders are here in the United States. In the UK, when leaders are caught being lying frauds, they have to change policies. Here in the United States, in Chicago, for example, where Lori Lightfoot was caught getting a haircut when salons were banned from serving anybody else, Lightfoot didn't reopen salons. Instead, she just openly said that she was special because she had to appear on TV and she was the face of the city. God, and what an ugly face it is. In California, Gavin Newsom got to have his maskless parties at the French Laundry while his serfs were stuck masked up at home forever. And when he got caught, nothing happened except a recall attempt that the Democratic political machine easily crushed, probably in a backroom deal between Larry Elder and Gavin Newsom. And California schools and restaurants and gyms and salons are still imposing masks on everybody. But you know who gets an exemption? As always, it's Hollywood. That's life as a Democrat elite in a blue city or in a blue state. The rules don't apply to you. Stephen Forsyth is a former British Royal Marine commando. More recently, he's been fighting back against Britain's lockdowns and vaccination tyranny. He recently confronted the police about his own father's death after getting vaccinated. We have a clip of that here. We sat down with Stephen Forsyth for nearly 45 minutes today in what I deem to be an extremely explosive conversation. Here's part of what was said.
People from all over the country have led this, but the people that have got the court case on, who've pushed this the Metropolitan Police to open and investigate and issue a crime number. Mark Sexton is a huge drive. He's a former police officer. You've got the amazing Dr. Sam White. You've got Philip Hyland, the lawyer. Lois Bayliss. They've been collecting data. They are dropping evidence on a daily basis. This is going to possibly be, and it will be, the biggest crime that the British police have ever been asked to do it, unless there's some form of military interaction and there's a military tribunal situation, because every single person we've got people all over the country that have been serving in notices of liability, cease and desist, military cease and desists, and the truth is, the day they get served, if they do not do what's on that, and the death rates currently in the UK on the yellow card scheme are in excess of 2,000 deaths and 1.3 million adverse reactions. Everything's about the children. And when they pushed this 5 to 11 years old, I saw a big change in people.
Yeah,
I don't think people actually really believed it would come to that.
But the United States government isn't moving like yours is. As a matter of fact, instead, they're doing the opposite and they're doubling down and becoming more tyrannical in their dystopian mandates and lockdowns. And what do you attribute that to?
Honestly, I think you've got an illegitimate government. I think it's quite common knowledge, very common knowledge over here. And I believe today is the 12th month. You know, there's a rule of law, isn't there? If you're basically living in an occupied country, I believe, with an illegitimate government. And I think all the governments around the world are illegitimate, acting illegally, acting tyrannically, and the overreach is obvious. And this was a global agenda, and it was a direct target using an experimental bioweapon, gene therapy bioweapon, against the general public. And, you know, I can only speak my truth. That's my observations. That's what I believe. And that was why all of us got together and we decided this wasn't going to happen. And I just thank God that we have a global military alliance, good people within the military that saw this coming and were able to put something in place. There was obviously a narrative prior. If we go back to prior to Donald Trump leaving office, if they knew what was about to be perpetrated, what they actually did by bringing it forward was enable it to be released under emergency powers. So that gave the ability to pull it. So this was another tool for us to continually use to save people by saying this is an experimental vaccine. From what I understand from what their plan was, they were going to keep us locked down for possibly 2 years without any break. And by the time we got to that situation, everybody would have willingly taken that vaccination.
This whole thing, this whole country is a big fake right now. All of our government is, with the exception of a notable couple that are really fighting and doing what they're supposed to do inside of our government, the rest of it is all just a big pro wrestling match, it seems, with the outcome being already predetermined and everything else in the middle from start to beginning is just theater. It's just a big showbiz movie that we're all watching here play out. And no, I don't want to call it collateral damage either. You lost your father.
Absolutely.
Your dad is dead because of this war. And that angers me. That makes me really angry that I have to sit here and talk to people who are hurting like this every single day. That angers me.
Yeah, you do have weapons. We don't. And when we talk about this being the other side being demonic and tyrannical, the truth is real, true courage can only come from a place of love. And that's what I feel this journey has also been about. It's about the raising of consciousness and about getting all these amazing people into a different mind state to prove that they would never have encountered this. When you look at you mentioned the lockstep earlier, when you look at the timeframes of lockstep, this period of time now, because everything's been pushed forward or pushed back, was supposed to be us going into dissent, into anger, and then they would have used that. If we'd gone down that route, then they would have used another power to control us and put us into a bad place.
Great conversation. Stephen Forsyth, former British Royal Marine Commando. That conversation, like I said, went on for about 45 minutes. You can find it exclusively this Saturday, stupeters.com. Become a premium user. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium. Again, redvoicemedia.com/premium. More of the Stu Peters Show continues next. Go nowhere.
You asked for it, so we delivered. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, exclusively for premium users on redvoicemedia.com. Propaganda busting, groundbreaking interviews, and real medical truth. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, for premium users at redvoicemedia.com. Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and
wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
The other day on the program, we spoke with an anonymous California nurse who works in the records department at her hospital, and that nurse sounded the alarm about the possibility and the connection between young and unvaccinated COVID patients being killed in hospitals and the idea that they could be used for organs. To put it simply, that nurse implied that there is a diabolical, nefarious, money-making scheme to murder Americans to be harvested for their organs in exchange for massive profits. If this accusation of premeditated murder by an American medical institution is true, the ethical ramifications are huge. One doctor says the similarities are striking to what she's been studying for years in China. That doctor is Dr. Ann Corson, who obtained her MD degree at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1982. She's board certified in family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. Her practice in Philadelphia is devoted full-time to the treatment of patients suffering from all forms of chronic disease. In 2008, Dr. Corson joined Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting to help raise awareness of China's live forced organ harvesting of innocent prisoners of conscience. So she wanted to weigh in on this. She sent us an email, and who better to ask than Dr. Corson if this is concerning and if this could actually legitimately be happening in the face of a CCP takeover in this country. So Dr. Corson, thank you. Does this concern you?
Well, that's what was so concerning to me when I saw that report on your show. And first, I'd just like to explain what Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting is, and then hopefully we'll answer that question about why this is so dangerous for us in this country. DAFO, Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, is an international medical NGO. We're dedicated to providing the medical community and society with objective findings of unethical and illegal organ procurement. And so we were founded in 2006 after the news first broke about organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners in China. And after 10 years, we were recognized by being nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2016 and 17. We also received the Mother Teresa Award for Social Justice in 2019. In fact, we also, over a six-year period, gathered over 3 million signatures all around the world on a petition to end this China's forced organ harvesting and presented it over 3 million signatures in 2018 to the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights. And to date, the UN has failed to act on that. We also have some recent world summits that were presented online. We'll give links that you can share with your readers to that, as well as a universal declaration to combat this that they can sign. And we recently had a webinar on International Human Rights Day about this as well. And we've had speakers, nearly 40 speakers speaking from politics, academia, law, media, social sciences, and medicine about this issue. And we have reached over 500,000 people that way. Let's talk a little bit about the background on Chinese transplant medicine. Before 1999, China had a very rudimentary transplant industry. And against internationally accepted medical ethics, it primarily used organs that they obtained from death row prisoners at execution, prisoners that were sentenced to death. But with the onset of the persecution and incarceration of hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners in the summer of 1999, suddenly China's transplant industry just exploded exponentially. And there was no explanation of where all these extra organs had come from. And there was a real discrepancy between the number of executions and the number of transplant surgeries that were being performed. And so the evidence really points to the fact that prisoner of conscience is being used as a living organ donor bank to drive what has become a hugely lucrative state-run and state-sanctioned transplant industry throughout China. And there's no transparency at all regarding organ sourcing in China. Even until 2013, there was no voluntary public organ donation system in China.
Well, they're not going to admit doing that here either. I mean, obviously, they're just going to deny that 100%. Now, this nurse said that the body fully harvested is worth $65 million. Is that true? Is that a valid number?
It might be in our dollars. That's true, but this is a highly lucrative practice. In fact, hospital websites in China used to advertise how much they would charge. And there's a huge transplant tourism industry where people come from all over the world to China to buy organs. And that's a real problem. So, you know, who are these victims? You know, in 2018, an article was published about the cold genocide of the Falun Gong. And that's always, the eradication of Falun Gong has always been the ultimate motive of the CCP. And the regime uses these financial incentives of transplant medicine profits to actually delegate the execution of Falun Gong practitioners to the medical profession.
And explain to our audience why the Falun Gong was so persecuted and why the CCP wants them eradicated.
Well, Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, is a spiritual movement that began in China in 1992. It's a spiritual discipline of both mind and body that teaches adherents to follow the universal principles of truth, compassion, and tolerance in all aspects of their daily lives. And as one continually improves one's moral character by aligning with truth, compassion, and tolerance, and performs five gentle meditative exercises, one's body becomes healthy, and one's soul ascends with the goal of spiritual perfection or enlightenment.
Okay, well, Christianity also contains the philosophies of truth and light and compassionism, all of those philosophies. It's no secret that there's a war on Christianity and a big anti-white movement here in the United States. People know that these injections are harming people's organs and causing antibody-dependent enhancement. So is it a surprise to you that all of this is connected, that it seems to be young and healthy, unvaccinated white Christians who are being pronounced dead ad nauseum in abundance in these hospitals?
No, this is very alarming because this is very analogous with what has been happening over 20 years in China. You know, the primary victims are Falun Gong practitioners, but also other prisoners of conscience in China, like Tibetans, House Christians, and Muslim Uyghurs are also subject to organ harvesting. And the evidence is just overwhelming and conclusive that this has been going on. There was a recent China tribunal that is sort of like a peer review process for all of the evidence. And they concluded that the Chinese government has been procuring vital organs unethically from living prisoners of conscience at an alarming rate for almost two decades. Now, why do we have to be concerned about this? Well, China continues to seek economic and military ascendancy, mainly through predatory economics and coercive behaviors. And its goal is global preeminence. And we're seeing how more and more the CCP has infiltrated all aspects of our own society, even at the highest level. And one of their goals is to lead the world in transplant medicine. And there are major transplant centers in our own country that have very strong research and teaching ties with Chinese transplant hospitals and its leading transplant professionals. So by using innocent prisoners of conscience as a living organ donor pool, China has managed to grow its transplant industry exponentially over the last 20 years. And it currently challenges the United States for leadership in transplantation globally, but it doesn't abide by internationally accepted transplant ethics. It lacks transparency for organ procurement, as well as it doesn't tell us the true number of transplant surgeries that are being performed. So by controlling transplant medicine, the CCP can set its own standards. And if China is violating these basic human rights, then this in and of itself is a danger to the global human society. Yeah. In our own society, we're seeing censorship of information that contradicts the mainstream and a lack of transparency regarding all aspects of the pandemic narrative. We are witnessing the alienation and dehumanization of those opposed to the mainstream narrative. We see hospitals being given financial incentives to diagnose and treat in ways that conform to the narrative. Freedom of speech, informed consent, the right to bodily integrity have vanished in our country.
Yeah, and it's all for profit. They're killing people. They're killing them knowing that the protocols don't work. And as they administer these expensive drugs that cause renal failure and then hook people up to ventilators and then die and then line their pockets with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Somebody that was just recently in the hospital with their dying relative told me after they saw this nurse whistleblower on this program that it struck them as very odd that while they were there and COVID patients were dying and they were taking their organs out because they were donors, right? That these doctors and nurses would have like a parade and a celebratory sending off of the heart or whatever organ it was that they had just removed from this person who just passed away in their hospital. I've got about 30 seconds left here. That account plus what this nurse said, do you think, is it possible that this is actually happening in the United States and that this COVID plandemic that we know now is a complete farce is actually being used to profit in this way?
Well, it's always a possibility. But what's more important is that the universal principles of truth, compassion, and tolerance are under attack. And this is a threat to all of humankind, because these universal qualities are the epitome of goodness in humankind.
Yeah.
The CCP is a danger to humanity, and it's infiltrating our society.
That's right.
Whereas Falun Dafa brings hope.
Dr. Corson, I got to go. I'm up against a hard break here. I got to go. We're going to have you back again very soon. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
I would love to say that that's unbelievable, but it's not. The anti-whites want to kill white Christians and eradicate them from the planet. And if they can profit on their way to doing it, then absolutely they will. We've already highlighted ad nauseum the evidence suggesting that a global genocide is taking place right now. Make sure that you go visit CortezWM.com. Book your appointment with Carlos Cortez. You don't want to put your money in the hands of these CCP-controlled communists. Absolutely not. Do business with a God-fearing, Jesus-loving patriot called Carlos Cortez. Book your appointment right now with Cortez Wealth Management. Go to CortezWM.com. I heard that last night's class was absolutely amazing. If you missed it, you can get in again next Tuesday. In the meantime, call him in the office, 813-448-3446, or book your appointment at CortezWM.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, need to be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do...